Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To find out more about who we are and to support the work that we're doing, go to neighborhood.love. Have a good and beautiful day, friends.
All right. Well, we are in the middle and continuing our series called Unnamed. And to start, now, one of the wonderful things about having a microphone is you get to say things. And the hard thing about having multiple concussions, you can't remember all the things that you've said recently. And so I don't recall if I've said this last week or 2 weeks ago, but I'm going to tell you the story again. Did I tell you the story about my favorite book called Name of the Wind? Okay, good. As I was getting ready, I'm like, I feel like I just talked about this. But there's a book called Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Okay. And he's from Wisconsin, which is okay, I guess. But it is a wonderful book, and it is the first book I read where I feel like they explained magic in a way that my brain's like, I think I could do that, right? It was, like, believable. And I tell people, it's like an adult Harry Potter. And then people look at me, I'm like, not like an adult. Here, not that thing, all right? Like Harry Potter, but like with more murder, all right? We'll just say that, all right? And it's a little dark, but I love it because the premise is that there is a true name to all things. And over the history of mankind, we have lost the names, or we've forgotten the names of all these things. And there's only a handful of people that know the true name of things. And if you know the true name of something, then you have complete power over it. So if you have the name of fire, then you could, you know, light Bear's hair on fire is a party trick, all right? If you please. That was great, right? And if you knew the name of the wind, then you could, like, pick up a pen from across the room. You could blow out the candles that all the kids fight about blowing out, right? But you could also then remove the wind of someone's lungs if you wanted to, right? And it goes to this whole idea of a philosophical idea of, if you know the true name of something, what kind of person are you, and what are you going to do with that power? It is so incredibly good, and it fits perfectly because the opposite of that is to not know the name, right? And that is our series on Unnamed. There's these saints that we have named through the history of church that have done some amazing, powerful things, and we need them as a light, as a symbol, as an inspiration to go and do great things. But there's so many people that never got named. No one ever knew their name. Actually, in our introduction, we talked about a story of this woman who interrupts this party, this meeting with Jesus and these beautiful people, and she washes his feet, and everyone gets angry, and Jesus says, oh, this is so great. Every time they talk about the gospel, every time they tell my story, you will know this person's name. You can't tell the story without telling this story, and there's a problem. Even in the Bible, they don't say their name. Right? They leave it out. And why, we don't know, but the point is there is all this silent work that gets done by people, by marginalized people, by women, by people that just do the work, some people looking for recognition, and a lot of people are never going to get it, and they have added and contributed to your family, to this town, to this community, to this church, to this world, to this nation. And what we're trying to do is, what if we, like, started saying the names of people. Like last week, we talked about Rachel Held Evans, who, for me, was a huge inspiration for my journey into finding what God and belonging and rethinking what the Bible can be. We're going to be talking about John of the Cross and Howard Thurman. Some, if like you are nerdy theologian people like me, you're going to know those names. A lot of people don't. And today, we're telling the story of Thecla. And if that name sounds familiar, because for like a couple 13, 14 weeks, I kept talking about it, because we had a class on the divine feminine and using the story of Thecla. And so I'm going to give you the real quick version of Thecla. If you've never read it, you can look it up. It's called The Acts of Paul and Thecla is the short, like, letter, the story. It's only two chapters long. Could you Google it? Like, did anyone? You don't have to. It's not behind a paywall. It's there. Thank you. So, did you enjoy it?
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Right. Do you want to tell the story?
No.
Okay. So, yeah. No. It's. You remember fire? Fire and Animals. That's what everyone remembers, right? So, but before I tell you the story, I'm going to tell you where I want to end. Thekla is punk rock, right? Punk rock meaning this is what it means to be a rock star. This is what the kind of music, this is the vein. And punk rock said, we're happy for you. We're going over here. And then a different version happened called ska, which was popular for about 4 days, all right? And then no one liked it, and no one ever listened to it again. But punk rock lasted, all right? Yeah, just, I said that for you. I love, yes, ska people exist. We know Barrett. All right, so why was I telling that story? Okay, punk rock, right? And in the course of history, and especially in church, there's been people who are saying, this is where we have to go. This is what it means to belong and be sacred and holy. And there's people who said, well, we're going a different direction. Thekla is one of those people. And my goal, what I hope this inspires you, is to do punk rock in your own version of things that you feel that were handed to you that says, this is what it means to be good. This is what it means to be a good woman. This is what it means to be a good man. This is what it means to be a good Christian. This is what it means to be a good employee. This is what it means to be a good adult, whatever it might be. And there's something inside of you that says, that's good, but I feel like my direction, my calling, right? What I feel the universe is inviting me might look a little different. And that's not always good, right? If you've been around for a while, you have those feelings, they're not always good, but sometimes they can be incredibly sacred. And to be able to distinguish between the two is incredibly important. That's why the power of community, right, is so good, and therapists, and and community. And so Thekla has inspired me. I learned about Thekla several years ago. I'm in the process of dreaming. That means I'm not ready to commit to it. Of getting a tattoo of Thekla, all right? Because I, and this is the picture. Imagine that right on my cheek, right here, right? Oh, I love it. Just don't smile ever, all right? That's what she's saying. I love it, right? So Thekla, here's the story of Thekla. From the book of the Acts of Paul and Thekla. Thekla is a young woman. She is engaged to be married. And in this time, if you forget, in patriarchy, your establishment was, or your reputation, your worth, your value maybe, was tied to your family and your last name and to your uncles and your aunts and your grandpa and your grandma. And as a young woman, your value was tied to who your family was and also who you're going to be married to. You were, at the time, more property, to be quite honest, right? And there was a lot of honor of belonging to the family and a lot of honor in finding a fiancé and then moving and being a part of that family. And there was, you know, we can do revisionist history. We now know, like, not so great. But at the time, that was the cards they were dealt, which does not make it good, does not make it great. It makes it still evil to treat people like property. But that's where it was. And Thekla is engaged to be married. And there's this guy, shows up in town, his name's Paul. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. And he's talking and giving these discussions about this person named, this rabbi named Jesus, and what that means, and the kingdom of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Thekla hears it, and she sits outside of the room and falls into a trance where she doesn't eat, she doesn't sleep, she doesn't respond for 3 days. She's just, like, vibe-checked under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then she wants to hear more about Paul. She wants to connect with Paul, so much so that she decides that she's going to, Paul gets arrested. This happens to Paul all the time. Now, I'm giving you the real quick version, right? Paul gets arrested. She bribes, she bribes the soldiers, goes in to hang out with Paul, and spends the whole night there with Paul, and is, have this kinetic relationship where she's feeling inspired and she wants to give her life, not to Paul, but serving Jesus and preaching the gospel. Then she breaks up with her fiance. She's no longer engaged. Mom finds out that she is with Paul. And what good moms do in this story is they say, oh, okay, well, we're going to execute you. So they tie her to a post and they're going to burn her alive, right? Seems like an appropriate response, right? And as she's being about to be burned, this great rain comes and these winds come, and it's this miracle that no fire actually touches her or doesn't hurt her, and everyone sees it, and she gets to leave, right? So she now has her mom who tried killing her, She connected with this Paul. She broke off her affair. She did pretty much everything you're not supposed to do as a young woman, right? And she cuts her hair and passes as a man so she can go and find Paul. And she's so inspired, even though people are saying, no, you can't do this, she does it anyways. Move ahead. She's in this prominent town, and there's this prominent figure, this man, and he is struck by her beauty and her wisdom and her gracefulness, and he tries taking her as her own. And she says, no, right? And so, again, his response is, that's okay. Well, we're going to execute you again. And so she is now thrown into a coliseum, and she is about to be eaten alive by all these animals. And the lions don't attack her. Actually, they sit down. And there's this whole thing of water, like this pool of water. And there's like these magical sea creatures, seals, right? And she says, hey, you know what this is a good time to do? I should get baptized. I've never been baptized. And she walks into the middle of the water. And she looks around and says, I don't need anyone to baptize me. I don't need men to baptize me. She goes, I don't even need anyone else. She baptizes herself. And there's this transcendent experience that happens, right? And it is so incredibly beautiful. And then it moves from there, right? Paul walks up to her a little bit later, not like while it's happening. And he says, you need to go preach the gospel. He authorizes her. And so an apostle authorizes, blesses another apostle, Thecla. And Thecla goes, and depending on what story you read, there's several traditions, one that she's martyred, one that she takes residence with her mom, right? And this other prominent woman, and has this whole house, this place where other people come, mainly women, to come and learn what it means about the gospel. Now, the reason I tell you this story is that in 200 CE, there is this prominent teacher. I don't know if he was a historian, but we have a letter that he writes to all these other people saying, hey, we have a problem. There's this woman named Thecla, and there's this story going around about Paul and Thecla, where Thecla is punk rock and decides she doesn't need men. And in fact, she doesn't need authority from anyone else. She just needs it from God. And women are beginning to believe her. Imagine that. Someone being inspired by God, moving in nonviolent ways, just trying to make the world a better place through love and belonging, and telling women that they're also made in the image of God and they have value, belief, and worth. And people believe her, and power says, this isn't good. And they intentionally limit and start crafting different narratives. And in fact, if you look at the writings of Paul or works that were attributed to Paul, like Titus or 2 Timothy, right? That a lot of scholars don't believe were really Paul, because they have really firm, strict house codes that tell women, this is your lot in life, and intentionally place limitations and expectations on what women can or can't do, and put them in the same place as enslaved people, and how you're supposed to treat your master so kindly and nice, right? And he tells widows don't like, or young women don't listen to the gossip of these widows, in a way of saying people who know something you don't trust them. Why? Who benefits from that? Not the women, right? And so there's like this campaign of people who are trying to tell a different story in order to silence women, and it doesn't really work. Because it says in the 4th century that one of the shrines, the shrine of St. Thecla, is the most visited, and this would have been in Turkey, right? Modern-day Turkey, is one of the most visited shrines. People are coming from all over to remember, to connect, to say prayers, to be inspired by Thecla. But why is this story not known? Why is this story go so unnamed? In recent, like in the last like 60, 70 years, it's becoming more because of more feminine theologians and their work of going back and saying who was named, because she's not a saint officially by the church. And the reason that people call her a saint is because there were so many people in the early church that called her one because of the work that she did. They're like, who else would be called saint if it wasn't for Thecla? And she is now in the Eastern Orthodox. She's put into the same category as apostles, right? So there's like some recognition, but she is inspiring, right? It reminds me of someone like Mary Magdalene, who, when you hear Mary Magdalene, what are some of the first words that come to mind when you hear the word Mary Magdalene? Nita, what's the first word that comes to mind? Rebel. Okay, anyone else? Friend. Mm-hmm. Support. Those are positive. Did anyone have a negative? The first word they thought of was a negative connotation? Oh, okay. I have a different one. I still remember people talking about Mary as she was loose, right? Like a harlot, like she was dangerous and scandalous. And so when I still hear the word Mary Magdalene, that's my brain goes, I'm like, why? I'm like, oh, because someone decided to tell that story, right? Is it true? We don't know. And would it matter? Right? Why do we, I'm not getting on that, of shaming women of what they decide to do, and we don't shame men. We don't put that same expectation on men, right? But why would they say that about her, right? Because they somehow want to change the narrative. Mary Magdalene is the apostle to the apostles. She's Thecla before Thecla. Jesus says, go and tell these people what just happened. She's the first one to see resurrected Jesus. Jesus didn't say, hey, you're not really going to preach. I need you just to pass information to the men, and then the men are going to take the story and preach it, right? Because they're men, and they know what they're doing, right? Said no man ever. So Mary Magdalene is the apostle to the apostles. She is preaching the gospel before anyone else. Thecla is doing a very similar tradition. She's moving this way of, I don't need to wait to get permission or blessing or granting from other institution. She's like, I'm sensing God doing this in me. Why not me? Right? So here's what I hope your takeaway is. I hope that what you can walk away with is a story of someone who really believed, not only just in themselves, but like learning the true name of themselves. In the story of the name of the wind, they don't just like whisper the name, you know it. It is this process of discovery and trials of where they have to go through all these hard tribulations and things to learn the true name. Thecla has done it. Mary Magdalene has done it. Millions of women before us. Millions of millions of other people who never get recognized based on their body, their orientation, their story, their last name, their poverty, their ableness or lack thereof, right? Who got left out in silence saying, well, that's not really good work. And so my invitation to you is what is the work that you're doing? Like, what problems are you trying to solve? Where do you find inspiration, something that gains your interest, something that piques your curiosity, of something that you want to solve? And maybe it's within your own body. Maybe it's within your mental health. Maybe it's in your family system of, like, I want to pass a better story to my children and maybe my grandchildren. Maybe it's something at work of changing a workplace culture or ethics. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's in where the school area where you are. Whatever it might be, what do you feel inspired to use that punk rock energy of telling and living better stories? Because we might not get sainthood, right? I feel like I'm on the trajectory of that personally, right? And we might not ever get a whole sermon series about us. We might not get awards. We might not get a plaque. We might not get ribbons. But what we might get is a couple people who said, do you remember that one guy with the really bad haircut, right? Do you remember that one neighbor? Do you remember that one woman? Like, the person I think of, I don't remember their name, which fits perfectly with the sermon series. I was a part of an evangelical pastor's group, and they would bring up things that I would just stay quiet on. I'm like, okay, I am new to this town. I'm new to this group. They're talking, and they had their things, and I'm like, oh, that's an interesting way to put it. But this one teacher came in, and she said, hey, I'm looking for money because I have a desk in my, I think it was like a third grade or fourth grade classroom. And I have kids that come and they don't get to school in time, so they don't get to get the lunch, they don't get breakfast, but they don't eat breakfast for whatever reason. I don't know. but they need to eat. And I put food in a desk that everyone knows is just the unnamed desk. And kids, when she offered the food up front, kids wouldn't come because they were embarrassed. They didn't want to have to go and ask for food. And so she put it in this this desk, and she noticed that when she did that, kids would get up during break or in between curriculums, whatever you call it, and they'd go and grab a granola bar and they'd eat. And when she did that, more and more and more and more food started being taken. And when she said that, I'm like, how much money can we throw at this? Like, of everything else, theologically, and what the churches and the pastors were talking about and doing and what they wanted to give money and accomplish, I'm like, you can have your Wood City Music Festival, right? Go live large in that. I don't want anything to do with it. But that, I'm like, that is Jesus. That's the gospel. That's punk rock. And you know how much money they got from other organizations? Not a lot, right? Because it's not sexy, right? Feeding kids is not sexy. It is not like hip with and wow. You're not getting red. But think about those kids that were able to eat, right? Like, what problems are we trying to solve in the world? And we might not get recognized, but man, can we make a huge difference through loving people in simple, practical ways? And we might discover the true name of ourselves, of moving and living in love. And along the way, we might learn the name of other people that we can make a difference for. So I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, if you feel that you would like inspiration, I don't know. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it not as long as other people, right? I don't know how this whole prayer thing works. I have my suspicions. I have my trauma. I have my stories of miracles. I have my stories of great moments, and I don't know how it works, but I do know that when we can put energy out of what we're feeling, if that's anxiety, if that's curiosity, if that's wonder, if that's thankfulness, if that's pain, something happens. When we put energy or name what we're feeling out there, that I really do believe that God can move in us and move with us with that energy if we're willing to be honest, if we're willing to engage with whatever God's doing. So if that's you, as I pray, however you connect with the divine, I encourage you to do so. And let's pray. So God, thank you for the stories of the people who've come before us. I thank you for this teacher who saw that kids were hungry and thought of how do we just meet them where they're at. Thank you for Mary Magdalene being the apostle to the apostles. Thank you for Curious George. Thank you for Thecla. Thank you for my grandma Mert, whose birthday it is today. Thank you for the people who showed us kindness. Thank you for the teachers and coaches who challenged us and inspired us to do bigger and better things than we ever thought possible. Thank you to the friends that took time to listen to us. Thank you for the people who text us back. Thank you for the art that makes us feel something even just for a little bit. Thank you for the music that grounds us when we're having an anxiety attack and we can work through it, listening to the rhythms and the beats. All of that is good and beautiful. And I believe all of that is you, is from you, is to you. So God, I pray that we would tap in and continue to move in that rhythm, to move in love, and that we can learn the name of the people around us. We can learn the name of what it means when we say that we're Christian. And when we say we're Jesus-looking people, what does that mean? What does that look like? And most importantly, what does that inspire us to do? So God, will you use us to bring life and hope and vitality and belonging and believability to the people around us? And for those of us who have been doing it and who are exhausted and who are tired, Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, will you hear our prayer of restoration and peace and rest? So we love you, God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, friends. Thank you for being here. If you want to talk, process, pray, Thecla or Jesus or God or punk rock or not ska music, I would love to do that. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, friends.
Of like it's gonna be like as big as that piano is what I thought. It is about the size of where the back materials are to us. It's giant. And like it's so cool. And I'm like, when I looked at it, I'm like, how come no one told me this? And so when I was writing this series, I'm like, there's all these things that we just have think this is all it can be.